Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, please. If I could have your papers and if I could have your attention. This is Friday, October 24th, 2008, BioSci 101. I'm going to talk today about Cedar Point Biological Station for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then I'm going to introduce Katie Potter, who is the Associate Director of the Cedar Point Biological Station, a student in this class a number of years ago, currently sitting in the same seat she sat in as she made the highest grade in that particular class. Back in 1975, the University of Nebraska, as a result of a student who had heard faculty members talking about the need for a biological field station, a student saw a Girl Scout camp that was unused out right down below the dam at Lake McConaughey. That student came back, told a faculty member about the facility. Faculty member went out to Ogallala and negotiated a five-year lease on the program that has now become known as the Cedar Point Biological Station. This is one of the premier instructional units in the country, especially for an undergraduate biologist. And so I'm going to show you some pictures. I'm going to show you some pictures of people at work. And I'm going to talk a little bit about doing science and what you end up with when you actually engage in some kind of an activity like this. And the next person I see talking at that, I'm going to send you out of class probably for good. So I'll begin with the minutes. I'll put this stuff up on Blackboard as soon as I get back up to my office. It's not up there now, just simply because I wanted it to be a little bit of a surprise. But I'm going to start really with the basics, the reason for you to actually go to a program like this. The fact that it happens to be biology is really not all that relevant in a way. If you had the chance to go to Washington and actually work in Congress and you were a political science major, that would be the rough equivalent of going out to the field station. Or if you could go to the New York Times and just simply go in there and sit down at a desk and play reporter for 3 months, then that would be the rough equivalent. And you would come out of that, those kinds of experiences, a very, very mature, intellectually mature individual. So here are a number of reasons for you to go out there, regardless of what your advisor says. And you may hear that over and over again from me, and especially if you ask me questions in private. Regardless of what your advisor says, as soon as possible, if you are majoring in anything related to education, the health professions, anything. First of all, it's the bargain in higher education in America today. In 6 weeks, you can pick up 8 credits with resident tuition. Room and board's about 500 and so odd bucks for that 3-week session. It's extraordinarily intense. You can fulfill so-called IAS requirements at the 400 level. Now, those of you who are starting right now, you're coming in under the current, what's called comprehensive education program at the university. That set of general education requirements known as the IAS-ES system. Now, it's going to change completely into what's called Achievement-Centered Education, ACE. This is all the so-called distribution requirements, humanities and social sciences, fine arts that you have to take in addition to your major. That stuff's going to change quite a bit in September, and everybody coming in a year from now will fall under the new program. Turns out that you're allowed to graduate under any bulletin that's enforced while you're in school. So you all will have the option, really, of graduating under the old program or the new program. If you end up graduating in the new program, you have this business of being able to fulfill these so-called integrative studies courses requirements at the 400 level is a good one. It's the best, easiest, and quickest way to get some kind of investigative experiences in the sciences. Some faculty members will end up knowing who you are very well because you spend a whole lot of time with them, 8 in the morning till 10 o'clock in the evening out in the wilderness. There really is no substitute for hands-on experience, regardless of what you're doing. Absolutely. No substitute for it at all. Dealing with the stuff of the profession. And particularly when those things, if you're a biological sciences major of any kind, the vast and overwhelming majority of living organisms on Earth are really uncooperative and they're wild. And that includes all insects that you may try to deal with. It includes lots and lots and lots of organisms. Most of the stuff that lives on this planet is simply uncooperative. And if you think back on some of those early lectures we had relative to doing experiments and how much of our biology is really derived from the study of cooperative organisms as opposed to uncooperative, the encounter with uncooperative ones is very educational. Been a life-changing experience for a whole lot of people since the middle 70s. You should never, your advisor says, oh, wait until blah, blah, do it. You can go next year. Don't ever trust a state agency to stay healthy. Don't ever trust the University of Nebraska, which is a state agency, to continue any of its most successful programs for a whole year. Go. Your advisors will tell you, however, especially those in Old Father Hall, that you should go out to Cedar Point so some faculty member get to know you and write you a good letter of recommendation. Well, you need to go out there early as you can for a whole lot of reasons in addition to that, but that field program, as any in-residence program would be, is really the most effective way to get what we would call that silver bullet sentence. And if you read that chapter about letters of recommendation in Al Whiting College Professors, and explains the origin of that phrase, silver bullet. Here's the phrase. If you haven't read that chapter, get the little book out and read it, because you're going to need it in a year or two. That's why you have it now. So time and time and time again, I end up writing these kinds of sentences in letters for students. I would trust so-and-so completely as my family physician. And yes, indeed, two of our children have been operated on by kids that I remember giving an A to. Yeah, and one of those children, who was an athlete, probably had all kinds of arthroscopic surgery of people that had sat in this room right here. I would trust, put your name in there completely as my child's science teacher. In fact, I would want put your name in there as my child's science teacher. That makes a difference. And remember that these are sentences that are being written by guys like me about 21, 22-year-old students. It's an enormous amount of fun, and it's the quickest way to get qualified as a teaching assistant in biological sciences. And I promise you that teaching, as opposed to taking classes, teaching is one of the most maturing experiences you can have. Time and time and time again, as I talk to my fellow faculty members across the country, the complaint is these kids have no social skills. And, of course, we're sitting around drinking a beer or something like that. Yeah, what do you think's going on? I don't know. You ever watch them? They're marching down like this. They've probably got their cell phone plugged in. They're not even looking where they're going. You're plugged in to constant communication with your very best friends. And one of the problems, really, that your generation faces is that you really don't have much experience at all at dealing with other people who are not your friends. And the quickest way I can think of to acquire that transferable skill of being comfortable with people who are not like you, which is the first thing you're going to encounter out there in the business world, is to be a teacher. It's a staggeringly beautiful place to be, to go to school. This is what it looks like out your front door in the morning, going to breakfast. This is Western Nebraska at its best. All my pictures are really from my class, and all the other classes look about the same. Most of the time, those days start with field work, collections, collections, collections. Yes, that young lady is now, I think she's gotten her PhD from the London School of Tropical Medicine. Some summer classrooms, this is one called Dunwoody Pond. We're actually out there working on parasites of fishes at this time. This is a rancher out in western Nebraska who has simply opened up his property. Said, sure, come on out anytime. So this is a rough equivalent of giving University of Nebraska students a laboratory that is filled with hundreds, if not thousands, of living organisms, all of them in their proper ecological context, just free stuff. You know, even if you won a big Powerball, you could not duplicate this kind of a teaching and learning experience on purpose, except to have some rancher say, sure, come on out and use it. So this is Dunwoody Pond. Here we're working on parasites of damselflies. You may think, why on earth would I ever study the parasites of damselflies? And the answer is very simple. You end up learning a whole lot of epidemiology and applied mathematics, stuff that suddenly makes health statistics that you read in your daily press mean something very, very different to you. This is Nevin's Ranch, north of Paxton, owned by the Silson family. Some of you may know that family. This is my teaching assistant out there collecting some kind of stuff. Nevin's, the Silson family and Dunwoody family and several Nebraska ranch families out there have had species named after them by students and some of my graduate students. And the whole idea is that that's the only way that a scientist can really repay that kind of generosity when a rancher says, sure, come use my property anytime you want to. What can we do? We can discover a new species, which is not all that difficult to do if you're studying microorganisms, and name it after that person. So this is Nevin's Ranch. Here are some students out studying really life cycle of frog lung flukes. Parasitic worms are among the world's global health problems. One out of every four human beings has at least one parasitic worm, almost the size of this pointer. And so what these people are doing, who are actually on their way to medical school probably, are learning about handling some of these things in a way that they really would not be able to do unless they went to some tropical country. Jody Shears published her honors thesis. Erica Peterson went on a Fulbright scholarship to Mexico for a year. South Platte River at Roscoe, one of our routine places where we actually go get wet and usually start the session off. It's a typical day at Cedar Point. Here's a place where we're also working on biology of snails. Snails, again, are really public health hazards in many parts of the world because they carry the infective stages of some of these worms that emerge and then burrow through the skin and end up as blood flukes. Here we're studying snail stuff. This one is, we're actually working on mosquitoes here out by the gate. Why would I want to study mosquitoes? Again, mosquitoes are the carriers of malaria, which is the second or third most prevalent infectious disease on Earth. And really, malaria is a major, major global health problem, especially all across Africa and Latin America. And so even though there are no malaria transmitting mosquitoes here in western Nebraska, the techniques of doing this work means that after this couple of days worth of exercise is finished, any of these students could get on an airplane, fly off to Kenya somewhere, and actually become part of a member of a team that's working on disease control. Classroom. This is what Lake McConaughey looks like. For those of you who have never been out there, actually this is really an exercise on a description of a new species Very few individuals ever understand what it means to describe a new species, and so these students are really collecting beetles that have little parasites in them that we're pretending are a new species. They may or may not have been, but actually going through the motions gives you an understanding of what it takes to really distinguish one kind of organism from another. General advice, quite frankly, is if you are associated, if you are even leaning anywhere toward the health professions, go out immediately. Get your hands on as many different organisms as you can. Handle those organisms as often as you can and as early as you can and as many different kinds, and do it and do it and do it and do it, simply because it gives you an understanding of life on Earth that you're not going to get any other way. You're not going to get it in med school, you're not going to get it in physical therapy school, and you're certainly not going to get it by waiting until you're a senior to take some courses where you actually get your hands on living organisms of some kind. Here are some that we typically handle all the time. Snails, of course. These things are really, really gorgeous, tiny one-celled animals that live, that are obligated to live on the external surface of crustaceans that are about this big. Here's a worm off the gills of some of those fishes that we're taking. Here's some worm out of the gills. Here's actually the parasites that your TA, Krista Major, did her summer research project on, which was really an elegant piece of work, and I may see if I can talk her into giving that presentation to you sometime on Friday. Cedar Point, you also learn to bring a project to closure. That's one of the very few things that college students ever learn how to do. If you just go to class, try to get good grades, you can graduate from this university with an A, with a straight 4-point, and never have the experience of actually bringing a project to closure. And that's the one thing that you can do very, very easily at Cedar Point. This slide came from last year's presentation. There was actually one person in this class last fall whose mother had been a student out at Cedar Point back in the 70s. Yeah, that happens. Here's last year's class. Actually, here's Krista, your TA. This is Joe Smith, who's on his way to Argentina as part of an undergraduate research team. Joe is one of those who ignored his advisor's advice to quit taking Spanish. You've had enough. You don't have to take any more. Joe said no. Today's world, you've got to become conversant. And so he's taken lots, and as a result, walked into one of our faculty members who has a big grant to study evolution of fishes throughout all of Latin America, and immediately began conversing in Spanish, and is now on his way to Argentina. Three members of this particular class sat in this classroom taking 101 last fall, so there's a very definite reason why we're making this presentation for you folks. Okay, typical sunsets, how you finish the day. We usually take a sunset break if indeed more merits it. Well, why do faculty members actually tell students about these kinds of things? Here are a couple of kids, Marianne McDowell and Mike Furby, who sat right over here years and years and years ago, actually ended up as faculty members at Notre Dame. You know, they went out to Cedar Point, became interested in fish, studied parasites of fishes, got their master's degrees, went on to Madison, became an item, got their PhDs, went to National Institutes of Health, and now they're both faculty members at another institution. Here they are out at Cedar Point. They brought their kids back to play in the river where they did their work. And they just wanted their children to see where they got their start in their professions. If anybody has any quick questions, what I'd like to do is turn this over to Katie. This is Katie Potter, who was a student in this class and is now the associate director of Cedar Point and handles all of the enrollment and registration. tried to talk her in going Cedar Point when she was in organismic biology, and she wouldn't do it. And I saw her dad this summer. I said, you know, I tried to talk Katie into being a biologist. He said, I wish you had. So here you are, Katie. You can talk right into there. Oops.
Yeah, it was about almost 10 years ago, fall semester, that I took this class from Dr. Janvey. And it was because of him that I actually became a biology major. And I really, really regret not going up to Cedar Point. And I didn't know it really is an life-changing experience. Everything is interesting. And I encourage any of you who are remotely interested in Cedar Point, please come talk to me or Dr. Jamie. I'm found in 101 Mentor, or you can visit the website, cedarpoint.edu. And I'll leave some brochures in the back of the room there. So please come talk to me.
So Katie can answer your question.
Oh, no, I don't remember what was.
Or if you remember, you can come see me one
more.
Thank you.
Anybody else before you get your writing prompt? Thanks, Katie.